We're going national on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. We're going to welcome in Luke Gasic in a few minutes. Catch up on the latest this weekend. Get his thoughts on the Edmonton Oilers. I thought he did a great job Saturday night filling in for Kelly Rudy.
He's awesome.
Who's getting well rested for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are, I don't know, maybe just 4 weeks.
These guys playoff, like, well, you did it forever.
I did it, yeah.
It's like 2 months of being sequestered and just like,
you know,
hockey every night.
The one thing that, it was an advantage for Elliot and I, and even Ron, was we got to at least go home. You know, a guy like Kelly Rudy is like locked in.
Flies here, stays here. BXF flies here, stays here.
You can only love your reward points so much at the hotel.
How many they have?
I mean, they come in handy when you put that vacation finally together.
Yeah.
But outside of that,
it's a lot.
It's a lot to ask.
So taking a night off, Luke filled in very admirably, I thought. A
couple big games tonight. First Kings in Vancouver, which we have Monday Night Hockey tonight.
Beautiful.
And then the Vegas Golden Knights and the St. Louis Blues, which all of a sudden is a massive game at the bottom of the Western Conference.
They can drive a stake in the heart of the Blues. They would end the Blues with a win tonight. And I think they will.
You do, do you?
I do. We can talk about that later. End game time.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask Luke about this, but I just want to get your early thoughts on Toronto and Edmonton, which was a signature game Saturday night. I know what Vegas did, you know, to a guy like Draisaitl, especially Petrangelo with the slash, but not very often you see McDavid and Draisaitl during the regular season get as targeted, in my opinion, as I saw them Saturday night.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
Yeah. I was surprised because I've watched the Leafs for, I don't know, 10 years now, covering it for Sportsnet, and haven't seen them ever do that, really. So that was something different. Edmondson, a little bit of an on-the-edge, dirty at times type of player. And Draisaitl, you know, the stakes were high, right? It's a big Hockey Night in Canada game, and he's an emotional guy and managed to get under his skin pretty good. So, yeah, that was a unique moment for the Leafs.
Okay, let's welcome in one of the busiest men in broadcasting, Luke Gasic, former National Hockey Leaguer and now star of Hockey Night in Canada. Luke, what's going on, bud?
Oh, thanks, Kipper. It's kind words. not much. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. So, like, someone that's lived that on a few occasions, that Saturday, it's a different feel, like, than preparing for a game during midweek. Tell us about your Saturday on an iconic show.
It was good. Honestly, it was a really fun experience. I got the call earlier in the week, so I got to, you know, have some time to prepare for it. But, you know, I agree with you when you said that. Like, I've been in there now for some big Monday Night Hockey games, and I've done Leaf games on Wednesday Night Hockey, but, you know, it was just different. It just felt different walking in there on Saturday, and obviously crew's bigger and there's tons of people around. And, you know, once I got on the desk and we were running through the show with Ron and Jen and Kevin, I was getting a little nervous, I'm not gonna lie, walking through some segments, but it was such a great experience. Everyone, including, you know, production and everyone in the control room, made it, I don't want to say easy, but definitely made it easier for me. And the fact that it was Leafs Oilers was awesome. Obviously grew up here cheering for the Leafs, and then spent the majority of my NHL career with the Oilers and follow them pretty closely now. So it was just a great game for me to walk into.
And anything, you know, from that game catch you off guard? I mean, geez, that was probably not how most people saw the game unfolding. What was your greater takeaway from a Leafs-Oilers game where the Leafs found themselves up 5 going into the third period?
Well, I did catch a second of what Kip said. And in the first intermission, that's what we focused on, or what I focused on, was the physicality on their top guys. It was something you couldn't ignore. I think we circled back to it in the second period as well, because there was a scrum on the power play, on the Oilers' power play, where they went to 4-on-4 with Draisaitl and Edmondson going into the box. But I just, from watching Oiler games, you rarely see their top guys get targeted like that on a shift-to-shift basis. And the fact that it was the Leafs, too, which is a team that doesn't necessarily play that way all the time, and it was from the first shift. It was from the get-go. Like, Morgan Rielly's first shift of the game, he had a box out on Connor, and then he tried to get to the net, and he gave him a couple cross-checks. And then Edmondson drove him into the boards on the second shift, and I was like, oh, man, like, they're making this an MO of their game tonight to go after these guys. If on the Oilers side, I mean, if you're an Oilers fan, I was pretty disappointed how they came out. There's 11 guys from Southern Ontario on their team. They lead the NHL in that category. And I just know for me, coming home was always a special game. Friends and family are here, can be distracting, but it's only once a year at a conference. So I was a little disappointed with the Oilers' effort on that side. You can't just wait till it's five rip to get your power play going and, you know, mount a comeback. But I was impressed with the Leafs' physicality and the way they drove the play.
We're talking to Luke Gastic, former NHLer, now Sportsnet hockey analyst. Let's add Hockey Night in Canada to that list as well. So we saw an exchange on the bench between Draisaitl and Evander Kane. And I think you guys mentioned maybe they were talking about maybe a power play or a situation on the ice. But could it have been, Luke, and I'm not privileged to what they shared, but could it have been, hey, Evander, I'm getting my ass run left, right, and center. So is Connor. Can somebody maybe go after a Matthews or a Nylander in this situation? And sure enough, 24 hours later, Evander's a healthy scratch. But who's in that lineup that can answer the bell for the licks that those guys took? And is that something that Oiler fans need to be concerned about when it matters most in the playoffs?
See, that's why I love you, Kip. I think that's a pretty good overlook at that situation. I don't know if that's exactly what they said, but when you're getting tossed around like that, you need some pushback. And that's one of the things that Kevin said in the studio on Saturday was like, where's Nursey and where's Sammy Carrick and where's Evander Kane to have a little bit of pushback from the Leafs here. And anyone that knows Leon or played with him like I did knows how emotional he is. And I understand the body language and the mannerisms throughout the course of the year don't look great from time to time. But I love his energy. I love his emotion. He just, you know, when you get into situations like that, he's very vocal with no filter. Like he will say exactly what's on his mind. And Evander can be that way as well. And I think that's just a situation where your team's getting pumped on the scoreboard and on the ice. And something obviously happened and it boiled over. And listen, like everyone had different opinions and kind of takes on how it looked. I didn't love the way it looked when you see two guys going at it like that. I would have hoped that they went into the room and, you know, maybe at least snuff that out a little bit and not let it carry over into the third. But it's clear that, you know, there was something wrong there. But I think that's Leon. You know, that's the way he leads, and obviously a very emotional guy.
So Kane gets healthy scratched the next night, and the team has a disappointing outcome against Ottawa. I guess I'll focus on Kane there, though. What's happening with his season here? Really struggling to get it going, and a guy who they need to be and can be a really important contributor for them, particularly when it comes to playoff hockey.
Yeah, you said it. Like, if they want to have any success down the line here, he's a huge part. He's going to be a huge part of that, and they need more from him. That's 16 now, I believe, without a goal. And if you're not going to score, you got to create physically, get a little dirty. And I just don't feel like that part of the game has been there either. Not sure exactly what's happening last night. You know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt here and say that maybe he's got a nagging injury. Maybe he's playing through something. But Chris Knobloch's tried him up and down the lineup. He's tried him with Connor. He's tried him with Adam Henrique. He's tried him with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and nothing is really seeming to work here. There was a couple games earlier in the season where he even threw him down on the fourth line, and that was no bueno for 91. He did not like that at all. But he's just such a big part of their team. Like, he brings that different dimension for their offense, as big as he is and as tough as he can be. Like, to get out of the, if you want to say Pacific or the Western Conference, in a macro view, he's got to be a big part of it. And it's something they're just really lacking right now.
Look, Saturday night, and we all know the Oilers didn't get the start that they wanted, but still very much in the hockey game, down 2-0 midway through the second period. And then the third goal, where Evan Bouchard's going to retrieve a puck with Austin Matthews, has the positioning to get the puck in first and actually hops to his left to get out of the way so Austin can go and get the puck that ended up being the third goal in the hockey game. And listen, Evan Bouchard is a hell of a talent. We know that. But that was pushing snow like I've not seen in a very long time. And I'm just wondering if Oiler fans see that in the playoffs, like, how can this team win?
No, and I'll agree with you. Honestly, he has come a long way since the start of the year, let's call it. It was some of the worst hockey I'd seen him play earlier in the season. And I feel like when Paul Coffey got hired, that really sparked something. And his game started to come in leaps and bounds. And it's just little instances like that, call them brain farts, whatever you want, little mental lapses that drive coaches and, for that matter, you're right, viewers, fans nuts, right? Like, that is a pivotal moment in a hockey game where you just want to see him make contact. You just want to see him at least absorb some physicality or do the old school stick on puck and drive him through the boards there. And it's things with Bouch like that that I think still frustrate people a lot in watching his game, because he has come a long way. He's got a great stick. He obviously has the offensive ability, but it's just times like that where I wish he could just play a little more physical and just use his body a little more. And that one was pretty obvious in the sense of what he should have done. But man, they line up against, you know, a Vegas, or even I watched LA play, and we're covering them tonight. They're in Van tonight. That's not going to work against either of those teams, anyone in the Western Conference for that matter. So those are things that I would hope that Paul Coffey, assistant coach Mark Stewart, who definitely would not have made a play like that, would have a chat with him and hope to be better.
He can shoot a puck, though.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, like he's
any ever.
Yeah, he's a great offensive player.
He is.
You know, they're at a point now where Vegas is a couple points behind LA. They may end up facing Vegas, as you mentioned. But it's tough to not see the Edmonton Oilers as, I don't know, are they the best team in the Pacific? Vancouver may win the President's Trophy this year, but I just feel like they've come so far, and I don't want to dwell too much on the Saturday night game because post-deadline Oilers have been very good. The post-Knobloch Oilers have been very good. Has your opinion of where they're at changed now going into the playoffs from, I guess, you know, pre-deadline? Where do you have them at in terms of real cup contenders?
You know what, JB? It's funny. I don't want to give you too much of the show tonight, but we have a little segment called Take Your Pick.
Yeah.
And our producer, David Azuma, said, who's the best team in the Pacific? And I'm thinking, how do I say Edmonton after this weekend?
Yeah.
With the position that Vancouver's in and how well they've played on a consistent basis. Like, Vancouver loses their top guy in Thatcher Demko, and Casey DeSmith has stepped in and played incredibly well for them. They're getting efforts from guys like Nils Höglander and Connor Garland all over the score sheet. The years that JT Miller and Quinn Hughes are having, like, they're a treat to watch. And I see how people are not giving them a ton of credit for being a Stanley Cup contender here, but I think maybe we're 70 games in now. Maybe we should. But I felt much better about the Oilers before this weekend. And I know two games, you shouldn't live or die by two games. It just shows me that they obviously still have some flaws. Like, they still have some problems. Every team does. But all in all, this is probably one of the more confident years. I know they ended the season really, really strong last year, but I'm still confident in what they have. It starts and ends with me in net. I've said that since day one. Mm-hmm. If Stuart Skinner can play some good hockey and get hot and go on a run, there's no telling what this team can accomplish. But it's just mental lapses like that and slow starts, which has been this huge, you know, character that they've started to identify with, where it's, let's just get better and better as the game goes on. Like, their third period goal differential is second best in the league. They just get better and better, but it's like, we need some better starts here. So it's concerning a little bit that they're still fighting with a couple things like this, this late in the season. But when they're clicking, honestly, when they are rolling and the four lines are going and 97 and 29 are at the top of their game, there aren't too many better teams in hockey than the Edmonton Oilers.
They've got 13 games to go, and it wasn't a good weekend for Skinner or Pickard against Ottawa. But if there is going to be a hiccup or just a pullback a little bit, maybe this is a decent time with 13 games to go, because they have been so good for the last 50-odd games.
Yeah, it's such a small sample size for me what happened this weekend, and it was largely in part to their goaltending, and I hate blaming it on them, but I mean, Calvin Pickard, 5 goals on 16 shots yesterday, and Korpisalo on the other side plays outstanding. You know, Elliot and Jeff talked about it on their pod today, and I don't want to stir too many things up, but Jackie Campbell's played great in Bakersfield.
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you see him again in an Oiler uniform.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know about that, but he's played outstanding in the minors.
I threw out Matt Murray, so we're even for the Leafs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the coach, I'm not the GM, but he's played some really good hockey down there, and you never know. He's still under contract for 3 more years after this, right? So, we'll see.
They would like him to find it, no doubt about it. On the Leafs side of things, watching that game, I know you follow along pretty closely, too. What are your thoughts on where they have come, you know, adding some physical guys at the deadline to the back end with Lyubushkin and Edmondson, but also just getting more support from Domi and Bertuzzi and, you know, McMahon and Holmberger? Are you a believer now that the Leafs could find their way through a playoff round? Dare I say such a thing?
This Bobby McMahon is unreal.
Like,
I have just loved him.
$5 million a year.
From start to finish, this kid has been just such a treat for me for the Leafs. Like, plays physical, obviously has a nice goal-scoring touch. I have a soft spot for anybody that's played in the East Coast Hockey League.
Thank you.
Because it is truly an absolute jungle down there. I turned pro in Boise, Idaho, and then I got sent down my first year. And just remember,
did we play together or against each other? What year were you in Boise?
Boise for me would have been 2009.
Yeah, I think I was there. I think I was there earlier in the season. I may have missed you by a month.
Discover we'll your guys are brothers we'll now.
But honestly, and I asked him after the game when we interviewed him just about getting there, and he talked about playing in Wichita and playing in Newfoundland, and then he has a chirp for Bieksa, and we asked him after, and Kev's never talked to him, never met him. He just came from this game.
That was total left field for me. Yeah.
It was just, I've really, really liked him. And honestly, I don't know this correlation between Mitch being out. I'm not saying anything about the fact that he's out or that's why, but other guys have had to step up. And a lot of credit for Joel Edmondson, too. He's been a guy who, especially Saturday night, we're sitting there going, mark that Edmondson clip, you know, mark that Edmondson stick, mark that Edmondson hit. And I think when he got traded here, it wasn't completely well received by Toronto. And it was just like, why are we picking up this guy? He's a little older. But I think he's a great, great addition to their back end in terms of adding a little bit of physicality and a little bit of heart.
Absolutely. Just for the record, Luke and I both scored one goal for the Idaho Steelheads in 2008. I'm looking at the, you had 14 PIMs in 2 games. I had 21 PIMs in 11 games. So I fought a couple times there too.
A lot of tripping or what?
So did I.
I had 8 tripping penalties.
Luke, were you one of many that watched Samsonov come off the ice going, is this season over?
Well, yeah. Anytime you see someone that needs to you know, pretty much be carried off the ice like that. We were all kind of silent too. And I remember thinking about the long term. Like my mind went straight to the long term, but I looked the play before. We were trying to see if he got hit with a shot high or if he stretched out too far. I think that was the big thing that people were looking at, was that his right leg missed the post. So did he just kind of tweak his groin a little bit? But you try not to think of the worst in that situation, because honestly, he was outstanding. I know that he gave up 3 goals in the third, but it could have been a lot more than that in the first 2 periods. He played some really good hockey and has played some really good hockey as of late for this Buds team.
Awesome stuff, Luke. We really appreciate your time. I know it's been busy, and you're right back at it tonight, correct?
Yes, sir. We got L.A. at Vancouver, Monday Night Hockey, 8:30 pregame.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Well, keep up the great work, man, okay? We love watching you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gaz.
All right. A new Lucky Luke.
Yes.
For Sportsnet.
Yeah. Oh, and the McMahon comment was hilarious to Bieksa, because I was just like, are they buddies? Did they go way back? But just a random dig to Bieksa. It was fun.
God, a lot of players play on an ECHL team over
in
here,
that,
right?
You're looking at that roster?
Oh, my God. There's so many guys.
It is baffling. For the record, I had a torn MCL and barely hobbled around for a few games.
Okay, just for the record, in my era, man, yeah, You'd almost quit before going to play in the East Coast.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it was nutso.
Yeah.
Like, scary.
Scary.
Yeah.
Like, you're going down there to...
die.
Die.
Survive.
You're gonna die.
Your hockey career is going to die there.
Yeah.
Now, much different.
Developmental, right? You only run 10 forwards because they want guys to develop. It's meant to be, so you play all the time. It's actually insane because there's 3 fights and all of a sudden you're like...
I guess that's how Terry Ryan ends up playing.
Yeah.
We're gonna hear like a lot of guys playing in the NHL from this league.
Yeah. It's funny.
It won't be as uncommon as my era.
My dad at the start of his second year got sent down to, I think it was the IHL maybe then, was that below the NHL at the time, and said that he basically learned to fight there because it was such a circus and you had to learn to stand up for yourself. Particularly, he had played in the NHL. He's 6'4".
And it was all of a sudden, CHL he got sent to.
My dad?
The Fort Worth Texans.
Okay, CHL at the time, yeah.
He had 73 points in 62 games.
Not bad.
80 PIMs. So he went?
Yeah, he had a couple tillies. There you go. But yes, now it is not so much just a pure fight fest, which is good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Same with the AHL too. Like, the AHL was a league that was, you know, you think of those guys that were running around down there, even, you know, in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like Marasty and all those guys.
Look at my Hershey Bear team.
I will.
With Craig Berube and Jeff Chychrun, Don Knockbauer, Al Wacko Hill.
It's like the intro at the start of Slack.
Wacko.
Oh, remember Andre the Poodle Lassard?
Yeah. There's some fights in these games. I'm just looking at the PIMs on that team.
Don Knockbauer.
Oh, yeah.
Snack bar.
Yeah, he had 174 PIMs in 42 games.
Oh,
what a year.
I felt
what with
so
the subsequent litigation?
I felt so safe on that team, man.
Yeah, Jeff Chychrun had 210 PIMs in 55 games. No goals, 5 assists. A lot of fun.
Went to training camp with Psycho McMichael.
Psycho?
I can't even tell you the guy's first name.
I knew it was
Psycho McMichael. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. What have I got myself into?
When I went to play in the Coast, my mom had some concerns because that was the reputation, right? That was, but it certainly is much more a development league now even.
Oh, and people love like the East Coast, like the attendance around there.
Oh, yeah. There's some really good cities. St. John's is a wonderful place.
St. John's.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne.
My cousins who live in Florida, who I've mentioned before on the show, they used to love it when it was the Leafs farm team was the Orlando Solar Bears.
Yeah.
And those games are awesome, apparently.
Buddy,
I've always wanted to go. But
Solar Bears, Everblades, I think.
Yeah.
My division, Greenville Growl, my division, though, was I was playing in Idaho, and we played in Vegas, Salt Lake City, which is beautiful, Victoria, like, and a couple places in California, which are not nice cities, but warm weather. Yeah. Like, it was an awesome division to play in if you're going to play in the coast.
Sure, that was good
you
for you.
You play in the East.
I'm sure that was good for you at that time.
Yeah, it went great. Hardly any trouble.
Game time, boys?
Let her rip, Sammy.
Right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Like I said, only two games on the schedule tonight. So I thought before I got into those games, I would check the futures and check the Stanley Cup favorites, like I always start like doing at the start of the week. The Edmonton Oilers are no longer the favorite, which I think is pretty fair after the weekend they had.
A bad weekend.
Well, pretty bad weekend, boys.
Pretty bad.
Bad weekend.
Okay, hold on.
Who do you think's a favorite today?
Small sample size or bad weekend? Come on.
No. Small sample bad weekend, but I mean, they got pumped in Toronto on Saturday night.
It wasn't
close
for a lot of that game.
Right. And I know a lot of people, like, puck didn't go in early for Edmonton, whatever, but it was 5-0 going into the third.
How about that play Henrique made at the blue line?
That's one of the worst plays I've seen in the NHL.
Oh, my God.
He kicked it around like it was a
that was bad.
Tennis ball or something.
That was bad.
What was going on there? But then they blew it to Ottawa. Were they up 3-1 against Ottawa?
Mm. Yeah. And we just heard from Luke. It was goaltending. Korpisalo, okay. One of the worst seasons ever in Ottawa history for a goaltender. Mm-hmm. And then you look like George Vezina last night. Go figure.
I don't know.
It's goalies, man. So who do you think the favorite is right now?
Is it Carolina?
It is not.
It's
the Rangers.
Really?
The Rangers are 7-1.
Hey, listen, I love the Rangers for obvious reasons, but I just don't see it. I see them in the mix, but
they're tied with the Colorado Avalanche. Co-favorites. Avalanche.
Are they
ready? Yeah. I think they are. I think.
You do, eh?
I love their team. Like, I really do. And
first line is Kreider, Zibanejad, Roslovich.
Yeah.
Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, Brodzinski, Wenberg, Kapo.
Panarin's having a heck of a
Goodrow,
year.
Rempe. Get out of here.
I like that team.
Rangers.
I like that team. Anytime I watch them, I like them.
Although Lafreniere has come
a long way. Man, some
and could you pull up the decor there?
Yeah. Keandre Miller, Braden Schneider, Eric Gustafson, Adam Fox, Zach Jones, Chad Rue.
There's still some development there with Keandre Miller. I love him, by the way. I would love to trade for him, but I think in 2 years, this guy's going to be fantastic, but there's still work in progress there.
They do have Shesterkin. That helps.
And if you want to find where the Leafs are, they are now 16-1. So, to me, the Oilers being plus 750 and the Leafs being 16 plus 1600 is just insane. I love Bet365, but to me, it's
those
teams are so much closer.
So
than
tough
that.
To get out of the West.
You know what's saved?
For sure,
Ken Holland is that Ekholm trade.
Oh, that Ekholm's like, perfect.
Think about
the Leafs teams, were sniffing around at that time too.
Think about it. Well, how the Leafs would have had a different
set of McCabe
instead. Well,
that's what it would. That's what it was. Rumored. That's when they made the McCabe trade.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But he's next level stuff when it comes to doing so many great things for the Oilers.
I forget who they were playing recently, but it was the most satisfying one-timer goal of all time. It was Ekholm on the 3-on-2 tic-tac-kabam.
Yeah.
Man, that looked fun. Against Nashville, I think.
So, speaking of the Nashville Predators, can I interest you in the hottest team in the league, the Nashville Predators at 17-1 as Stanley Cup?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Did you catch?
They could be 170-1.
Okay, bud. All right.
The Forsberg fight.
Yeah, he got pumped.
Philip Forsberg?
Mo
Sider filled him in.
Sider's a big guy.
Mo Sider.
He threw him.
Yeah. He did.
He threw him. But I'm telling you, such a skilled player that you would never think would have that kind of anger to fight.
Was it a mad fight?
It was a mad fight.
Yeah.
And Forsberg did terrific. Did he win the fight? No. But was he?
Yeah.
Was he that guy that woke his whole teammates up to another level? 100%.
It's kind of like Simone Benoit fighting Nick DeLaurier earlier this year, where he's like, "Oh God, like,
okay, no, this is way worse."
this is like Mitch Marner fighting.
This is way extreme, man. Forsberg's more Nylander than
I'm just saying the mismatch.
Benoit.
The last thing I have, I know I'm going against Borny here tonight, but give me an underdog parlay tonight. Give me the Blues at plus 125 and the Kings at plus 110 for a plus 372 parlay. The two underdogs get it done
tonight.
Or
you could save your money and bet Vegas plus the over.
I just want chaos, so I'm rooting for the Blues. All right. I love my Knights, yeah. But little fun at the bottom of the at the fun
of
the
reverse jinx for your Knights.
Yeah, there we go. All right, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get into some NHL news and notes, including the Washington Capitals. Is that the same team that lost to Toronto on the weekend?
I don't know what to make of that team. They are Jekyll and Hyde. Also, the Penguins found the bobbleheads.
Oh, they did.
They negotiated their return.
Oh, okay.
They also found a loss up 4-0.
Let's get into that and more, including Shane Doan's son making his debut for the Coyotes Tuesday night.
I feel old. How do you guys feel?
Oh, boy.
Buddy.
We'll tell you how old
like
we feel.
Like a rugby game every day.
When we return, I'm Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, bringing it home on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. So, before the break, talked a little Washington Capitals. OV was named first star of the week.
Oh, no.
Scored in all four of his outings, leading the NHL with 7 goals. Okay, he's going to break the record. I got news for you. And I don't want to hear those sounds coming out of your body from here on in until the record.
Okay, here we go. No comment. No comment.
Makes for good radio.
Sorry.
Look at me.
You're not going to hear any comment other than this.
It's going to happen.
Okay. Okay.
Anyone see the graph I tweeted out today?
Oh, yeah, I did. It's like,
Can you remind me?
He's the GOAT. Ah, he's the best goal scorer. Does he have the most goals, though?
No, he does
not.
That's yet. Everyone scored when Gretzky plays. The era-adjusted goals thing, where like in the 80s when Gretzky was scoring all his goals, there was like 38 goals a game. And when Ovi's played, they're way, way down here. The point just being, Ovi's goal scoring compared to his peers has been more impressive by a good distance than Wayne.
Good for
and
him.
And so no, he doesn't have the most because some people aren't smart enough to take context into consideration.
Oh, when he's stealing them off his teammate's stick.
Fair enough, Sammy.
That was embarrassing.
He thought getting in Connor McMichael's way.
He literally
shot my stick.
I can't stand it.
They can't take that one away, can they? Will the league dare?
No. It's happening.
I feel most people want to get this.
He's going to score 30 this year.
Most people want to get it. So I feel like, you know, whatever I see, people are happy that they're going to get to witness it. And I feel bad that literally every time it comes up, it truly disgusts me, and I don't want to keep hammering away on this. So like, I don't even know what to do. I hate it. I honestly check the box score for every Cap game, like, and then
you just don't want to see Wayne Gretzky off the mountain.
I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. No politics, no nothing. I want the Canadian guy to have the most goals of all time, not the Russian guy who is like, that's the historic rival of Canadian hockey. Number one rival is Russia, USSR, whatever. Looking back over the history, and they are our number one rival. I don't want a Russian guy to have the all-time goal scoring
Let's
record.
Go.
Sorry, I don't want it. God. And now you're like an idiot. I'm talking
right.
for 5 minutes.
It's okay, grapes. It's
God.
Okay.
Buddy, it's not Maddie. I'm on your team.
We're good. Washington,
yes.
12 games to go, 2 against Detroit, including tomorrow night.
Mm. Whoa. They're right in it. Right in it.
Is that the season right there, tomorrow night?
You know what? I'd love for that to be the case, but they're just so close. Like, they're 1 point up. If Detroit wins, they're at 80 and 79 points. It's not enough to say one way or the other that it's the season, but it sure is a massive hockey game. Regulation wins, the Capitals hold 2. That's a big tiebreaker.
Boy, the Red Wings really blew this.
By the way, look at regulation wins. The Leafs had like none. Remember we did that for a while? They're 4 behind the Bruins now.
Yeah, that was a big time talking point for a long time. But no, I can't help but look at those standings and say, what happened to the Red Wings? They were solidly in there.
Yeah.
Two wins for the Washington Capitals since getting throttled by the Toronto Maple Leafs and losing Tom Wilson for six games, who, by the way, will not appeal the six-game suspension for the high stick.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Carolina in a shootout.
That was a crazy game. How is that the same team that played the Leafs?
7-6, I know.
And then shutting out Winnipeg yesterday.
I know, the cap schedule, too.
I had to look twice.
Yeah. Well, Winnipeg's had a weird run. The Islanders beat Winnipeg on Saturday so thoroughly, it looked like they were playing, I don't know, the Sharks or something. The Islanders were up like 28-6 in shots at one point. So Winnipeg has just had a little blip here. Sure, they're going to be fine, but it was a scary weekend if you're a Jets fan.
Yeah.
But the Capitals schedule coming up. So after that Red Wings game, they play the Leafs on the Thursday. We may talk to Carberry. We'll see. Yeah. We're still working on that. But after that, they got the Bruins. They still got to play the Canes. They got the Lightning. They got the Bruins again. Like, they got some tough games ahead. So Detroit's still in it.
Mm.
And Carberry's just should be talked about a lot more, I think.
Yeah, he is making proverbial chicken salad, in my opinion. It's a good-looking chicken salad.
Yes, it is. And Charlie Lindgren is still the guy.
Yeah, that's always the thing, right? With you know, good coaching is it comes along with good goaltending, and Lindgren's been really good for them.
So from one topic that's our favorite news and notes to another one, did you happen to catch any of the Penguins and Avalanche?
Did catch it?
Yeah, I did.
Mm.
I did.
Mm-mm-mm.
And
it's kind of the honestly real microcosm for the Pittsburgh Penguins season, where you have Sidney Crosby scoring potentially the most glorious tip goal I've ever seen.
He's done that a few times.
Yes. That one to me was the most extreme. Like, he was below the goal line. It felt like, I don't know
did
how he got it up
off
there.
The far elbow.
But did you see him save the play by getting it back to the point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, honest to God, I'm watching this.
He's working
as good as ever.
And he's trying his best, but his best just ain't good enough, and they lose.
And they are currently ahead of three teams in the East, Ottawa, Montreal, and Columbus. Just three
teams.
Oh,
there we go again.
Having the board's very nice.
It is.
Whoever's decided to add this to our show, yeah, what an element.
Thank you, Jimmy Willie.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah. There you go.
But, I don't know, you see Ottawa with a huge win last night. All they're doing is worsening their.
Well, at this point, they their go pick. Free fall and do an NBA team load manage anyone who can shoot it into the net. Start, you know, what's the point at this point?
But God, I can't help but just see these Sid moments and just be heartbroken again. As heartbroken as I am every time Ovi scores, I'm as heartbroken as I see Sid sitting on the bench with his head down. Like, to me, the points that they're at with their teams right now, I just wish so bad that they were flipped.
And this conversation will not go away here from here on end.
Well, Sid, to me, needs to make a call. Like, I understand, see what happens this summer with Pittsburgh. Go into the year, see if there's...
What do you need to see?
Well, I'll tell you what you need to see. If you trade Eric Karlsson and you add Brett Pesce, and, you know, if you make three or four personnel changes and you feel you're a lot better...
Did you buy it, like... Did you buy into Karlsson, Ottawa? I don't know. Didn't Karlsson say, that's all coming from...
Classic Canada or something. He was pissed off about Canada, yeah.
I think Elliot started all that.
He did.
Well, it's not like Carlson's going to say, I've heard that. I sure hope that works out. You know?
I'm looking forward to my return back to Ottawa.
Why would Ottawa ever contemplate that? Please give me within the next 30 seconds,
right?
Give me one good reason.
Shoots right. Did he shoot right?
Is that? It's not a good enough reason.
No.
I think that you're just, I don't know. There, it'd be a classic Ottawa think they're better than they are, make a trade to kind of think you're putting them over the top, get a star in there.
Buddy, they need to have an aggressive summer, though. This isn't it, but that's not the move.
Wasn't it Mac that said this is the biggest summer of their franchise history?
He did.
So moving Karlsson would help excite Sid? Is that what you're telling me?
It would help excite Sid if it meant that they would sign other good players. Like, you don't think they're going to do anything this summer? You're talking like you think they're going to just go into next year like this.
Yeah, I think they probably will.
Well, then Sid needs to make the call if he wants to sit on the bench after blowing 4-goal leads for another 3 years of his career, or if he wants to be in games that matter.
See, I think that's more realistic than Kyle waving his magic wand.
I listen, this is the Kyle Dubas show. I can't do another Dubas.
We're not doing it. We're not going there. Okay. We're just saying that his hands are tied.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what he can do. Like, I mean, you can trade Carlson, but you still have Malkin. How much does Malkin make?
Six and change.
I mean, you can't. Can you move that?
Can you move that?
Like, there's so, that's the thing. That's why taking over the Penguins was such an impossible job, because you have to manage.
Well, you get a 7-year deal
for sure, you have to manage the end of the most beloved maybe team in franchise history. Yeah. Where,
like Andy Dufresne, you have to crawl through 500 yards.
You're the guy that has to end
on the other side. Yeah,
and is he in a big enough spot to be like, hey, Sid, we're trading Gino, we're trading Letang. Like, I don't know. He asked him to do that, he might trade me.
He may have got some goodwill when the Penguins secured the truckload of stolen Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads and planned to begin distributing the promotional items at the team's upcoming home game. The Penguins were notified last week that a special cargo recovery team negotiated the return of the stolen property to a secure warehouse located in Ontario, California.
Okay.
California, the bobbleheads.
I know nothing about this story. I've talked to no one about this story. I call BS on the whole thing.
Wow, that's a bold claim.
I know.
The organization saying.
Yeah, it just reeks for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was some at the time.
It's
the
just
Jagr
so goofy.
Was...
Oh, by the way, though, I did stipulate on the show last week, I believe nothing on the internet any longer.
Anything, period.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But, nothing.
I mean, I do love the visual of the guy who took the truck being like, it's bobbleheads, man. It's bobbleheads.
But there is
there's no gold on this truck.
There's an epidemic of cargo theft in America. Apparently trains are getting robbed all the time. Like it's the Wild West. Yeah, for real.
Train robbers.
They're back, man.
If it was a publicity stunt, it was probably a good one.
We've been talking about Jagr bobbleheads, I guess, for 2 weeks. That's something.
Yeah. Great. They need to get people to go to their games.
All right.
If I know what I don't care
legit,
about bobbleheads. Also,
then,
I'll shut up now.
Good on them.
But wasn't
diverting
the return mean? What did they
diverting
exchange?
From a very bad season?
What did they exchange to get these back?
Erik Karlsson signed stick.
Really? What could it have been?
I don't know if you guys have watched their home games recently, but like, crowd's not looking as hot as it used to.
Oh, there's a real concern. No. There's
and
a real
you
concern.
You just bought a team, which Mario sold, was at Fenway Sports Group that's involved. You can't love what's happening.
Oh, no. There's a couple of people there told me that, like, the feeling is right up there with before they drafted Sid.
Oh, boy. Oof. Well.
But that to me, is why, you know, people always like to rag on the Southern teams, which I do myself.
Sure.
But I think it's a much more fickle thing than we give it credit
Everywhere. Sure.
Not just...
Yeah, Winnipeg fans taking a beating. Meanwhile,
yeah.
Pittsburgh fans haven't been.
And same with Florida and people like, oh, there's no one there. But it's like, there's a lot of markets that if the team stinks, people stop going. Like, there's only a few American ones that are super solid.
A lot of places to spend your...
All right, Josh Doan will make his NHL debut after being recalled from the AHL Coyotes Hockey Club.
Very
this
cool.
is, of course, the son of longtime captain Shane Doan. He's 22, selected in the second round back in 2021. Had a pretty good start to his pro career. Anything else we know about him?
Yeah, he's leading the AHL rookies with 26 goals.
Wow.
It's not easy to score in the American
26?
League.
26?
No, it's not.
Yeah. You know, at just 22 years old.
24 one year.
Did you?
Yeah, and I thought it was like all the goals in the world back then.
I had two.
Pretty good.
There you go.
Yeah.
But so
cool
together,
for sure.
We still don't have as many as Doan's
kid.
That's
right.
We always forget that Doan does work for the Leafs, so.
That's right, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a nice connection for him. I'm sure that's a proud moment for Doan to watch that.
You know what I wanted to ask you about? and I'm not up to date on this as much maybe as even you would be following this, but Elliot on Saturday night mentioned this whole situation with the NCAA, CHL, and what that could mean to their agreement between the CHL and the NHL. I've talked to a few people in the junior ranks, and they don't anticipate anything coming real soon here.
Well, what Elliot said, he said the NCAA is actively considering removing all restrictions for CHL players to play in the NCAA after their CHL careers are done, which
that's,
would be a bomb.
That's a okay, but way different thing than it's ever happened. That's the opposite. No,
it's a major change for sure.
I mean, it certainly affected how my choices were made.
What qualifies as someone's end of their
age?
CHL?
Well, when you're not.
What age? What 20, age?
21. You're an overager.
You're an overager if you're born.
Why not 18? 18's the legal
But you can play in the CHL when you're currently 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you wanted to leave when you're 19 to go play in the NCAA, sure. Are you allowed to?
Yeah, you'd be able to. But by this agreement, you could go.
So at any time, you could leave the CHL?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, to me, you know, really tears the junior system in Canada because I chose Junior A. I played in the WHL and had to consider, do I want to keep trying to make this?
I just don't understand the term when your career's done. Or how did you phrase that again?
After their CHL careers are done.
Yes, but it's not when it's done. It's whenever they want to.
I think that's, right? You know, he's just saying, like, when you run out of runway to play junior, you could then go play in the NCAA.
Listen, there are some CHL teams that don't want you to leave, but you could just pick up and leave anyways.
Yeah.
That wouldn't necessarily be a good thing.
Well, I'll read the rest of Elliot's statement if it helps us.
Yeah.
For example, if you get drafted from the CHL, NHL teams hold your rights for 2 years. If you get drafted out of the USHL or NCAA, they hold your rights for 4 years. So all of that would have to be collectively bargained with the players. So there is still some clarification needing on how that would work.
Yeah.
And also, I can't read.
Yes, you can. Well done. Way better than me.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's a lot of CHL teams would be fighting to not, like, because if you get, listen, you get sent to somewhere, you're playing in Rimouski, you're playing up north, or playing in Owen Sound, or playing somewhere where you don't necessarily love it.
If I were,
you're looking for the first train out of town.
If I recall, if I recall, even in my era, when a player got drafted and developed, and then ended up playing in the NHL, the NHL teams would stroke a check to the junior teams.
To, like develop their
kids. Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't cheap. It was, like, in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, really?
30, 40, 50 grand.
Hmm.
Teams would get kickbacks for developing for the NHL.
Hmm.
So I don't know how it stands today.
Yeah.
But if someone was to leave after 2 years and go finish in the NCAA, do they still pay a portion of that?
Yeah,
do they not
know.
Pay it at all?
And really weird to think of what would become of college hockey if you get a bunch of the best 20-year-olds out of, you know, the OHL decide to go become NCAA players and they got 4 years of eligibility playing until they're 24.
They all do it in the, like, U sport here, right? Like, oftentimes they'll go play for
universities
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it would hurt that too. So they would have a big say in that. Like, it's a.
Do you ever envision, like, a Memorial Cup becoming bigger in North America, including USHL? And, like, does that open up?
Mm.
I really think it would fundamentally change all the structure of how developing and what leagues you play.
Yeah.
Please don't trade. That's the hardest trophy in sports to win.
USHL's kind of made a name for itself in the last little while. It was never, there's nothing there
good
for
league.
Me.
Good league. Yeah.
You know, and that's the equivalent of CHL hockey in the U.S.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the BCHL, which I played in for years, joined up with the the Alberta League or something like there. Everyone's making moves right now in junior hockey, so the landscape is shifting a little bit.
Go check out the fees of these teams now. Mm-hmm. Tier 2. $1.5 million.
What, for players that get drafted?
No, to buy
franchises.
To buy
really?
Franchises. Yeah. These franchises are hot right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay, just like that, our 2 hours are up. Enjoy your night, and we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.